From Nashville and Music City, USA, this is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not, and we are glad that you are with us. I know what you're thinking. I mean, I do. You're pulling over in your car right now just to stop and catch your breath and think, there's a show for caregivers? Really? On American Family Radio? A show for family caregivers, and it's live on Saturday mornings? That's what you're thinking, I know. And yeah, there is. And this is it. And this is a show for you. So if you are putting yourself right now between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster, somebody that you care for who's suffering from something, this is the time for you. This is your show. There's nothing like this around the whole country or Todo del Mundo. There's nothing like it. We are the show for the family caregiver, and we are on American Family Radio. Family is the middle name of American Family Radio. Now, people ask me, I saw this, by the way, when you call 888-589-8840, you'll be routed to American Family Radio. They'll bring you on. But Jim is in the booth. And Jim, I want to tell you something real quick. You still with us, Jim?
Yes, sir.
I saw an article about caregiver suicides. So I clicked on look at it, and they were talking about physicians that are the huge suicide rate among physicians.
Right.
But they called them caregivers. So a lot of people call themselves caregivers, and I don't doubt that's an alarming statistic because of the pressure that's on the healthcare system and so forth. But they weren't referring to the caregivers that this show is about. And I talk about the family caregiver. And it's really easy to remember what I'm talking about when I say family, because this is on American Family Radio. The family caregiver. And somebody said, well, what's the difference between a caregiver and a family caregiver? And I'll tell you right now what the difference is. A paycheck. That's it. Because the family caregiver is doing this without a paycheck. And in the 32 years I've been doing this, I don't think Gracie's ever written me a check for this. And that's okay. And that's what we caregivers do. And there are so many. There's 65 million Americans right now that are doing this. 65 million Americans. And the numbers are going up. It's not going to get easier. Every family will deal with this. Make no mistake about it. Every family will deal with this. If you love somebody, you're going to be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you're going to need one. So we've all got a stake in this, and we've got to come together and figure out how do we strengthen those who take care of those who are pushing the wheelchair, who are standing up in the hospital room corner watching and wringing their hands, who are up in the middle of the night doing laundry. And by the way, laundry, I have found, is one of the more prolific tasks that we have to do as caregiver. You got to do a lot of laundry, I have found. That is my experience. I don't know if it's yours, but it is certainly mine. And these are things that as I was developing this show years ago, I thought, okay, how do we help these people? What does real help look like? And I've got a scripture I want to read to you this morning. Matthew 11:28. And by the way, if you want to follow along on Facebook Live, the show's Hope for the Caregiver on Facebook, if you want to log in and follow it on Facebook Live. But listen to this. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? That's our scripture for the day. Now, Jesus, if you'll notice, he didn't say, and I will give you sleep. Because I've learned in my 3 decades of this that sleep is not rest. We can all sleep, but that doesn't mean we're resting. What is rest? What does rest look like for a caregiver? What does rest look like for you? How are you resting? Now, this is early in the morning on American Family Radio that we're doing this live, and you think, well, we're talking about rest already. We just got up. Well, some of you have been up all night anyway. But sleep and rest are two different things. Sleep is a state of your body. Rest is a state of your mind and your heart and your spirit. And this is what we as caregivers struggle with. Well, I think everybody does. I think there's nothing really that caregivers struggle with as far as matters of the heart that everybody else does it. We just deal with things in a relentless, often nuclear way that is just inundated with it all the time, and we never get out in front of it. And that's one of the issues that's driving this show, is that help caregivers find a well-lit path to safety. What does that look like? What does it look like to get to safety where we can catch our breath, take a knee if we have to, and then develop strategies where we as a caregiver can live a calmer, healthier, and even joyful life? Is that possible? Yeah, it is. Anybody else tell you? Well, you may not have to listen to that, but somebody's been doing it for 32 years. Yeah, you might want to listen on that one. So 888-589-8840. I'd like to get to the phones as soon as possible, simply because this is a caller-driven show, and if it's on your mind, we're discussing it. Now, we have topics we're going to wade into, but if you got something that is just pressing on you that's heavy, call in, and we'll stop what we're doing. We'll take the call. We'll deal with it, and then we'll get back to whatever else we were talking about. But the whole point of it is to help you as a caregiver. I'm not here to lecture to you. I don't need to do that. You don't need me to do that. But I am here to engage with you to let you know that you as a caregiver have a place now for you. And I don't want to hear the bio on the person you're taking care of. I want to hear your story, your heart, your issues. And I don't care if you're tired, discouraged, mad, resentful, anything, whatever comes after the word I feel this, then we can have a conversation. All right. So, Jim, we got Lynn in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Lynn, are you with us? Good morning, Lynn. How you feeling?
Yeah, I feel fine. I just wanted to say I was a caregiver for my mom for 3.5 years. And I moved totally out of my house, moved to another state, put my stuff in storage, quit my job, ended my insurance. And my family was totally unappreciative. Their view was that I came to live off my mom. And I really want to help other caregivers, and I want to write a book about the experience with the pitfalls and everything else, and some tips, some things going into it that could maybe avoid some problems. Number one, my mom and I talked for 20 years, and I know it was that long because in her 80s, she had friends going to facilities, and she never wanted to go to a facility. And I always promised her I would take care of her. My mother was a very passive person, and she never told anyone. So when I came on the scene, when it came time, it was a big surprise to everybody. And because I lived in another state, they felt like I was an intruder. And so anyway,
how are things now with them?
We don't talk. Part of the reason for that is my mom had a trust set up and the attorney left the state and my brother got another attorney. And
well, I'll tell you what, Lynn, we're up against the clock. Hold on, and I'm going to take you through the break here, okay? Don't go away. We're going to take you through the break. We'll be right back. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is your show as a caregiver. We'll be right back. For Caregivers, About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you more than 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio, 888-589-8840. That was Heaven's Not the Reason. That's my wife singing that. And our friend Scat Springs, that's a duet. That's off of her upcoming record. You can actually get that song now out on iTunes. And it's a song that I wrote some time ago, and she, boy, they really brought it. The two of them really brought it. So, Lynn, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, we were talking to you about your family. What you did is you quit your job, you quit your insurance, you quit all those things, and you moved in with your mother. And now you want to write a book about it after taking care of her a couple of years. Did I get that right?
Yes, 3 years.
And your family has kind of been a little bit disconnected by that because they saw you as an intruder coming into that situation, and all you were trying to do was just take care of your mother. Did I understand everything correctly?
Right. Yes,
well, I tell you what, one of the things that I would recommend to consider is maybe not quitting your insurance. And help other caregivers remember the same thing. And because what happens is I've found a lot of caregivers will put their life on hold and they will disrupt their entire lives to do this, not really thinking that, okay, if something happens to me, then what happens to the person I'm taking care of? See, the whole point is healthy caregivers make better caregivers. So if we're not in a healthy place ourselves, financially, emotionally, spiritually, professionally, we are running the risk of jeopardizing the whole ecosystem of our loved one. What happens to me if without health insurance, I get hurt and I've got a wife who's had 80 surgeries now, both legs amputated, you know, $10 million plus dollars. And this has been going on now since Reagan's first term. What happens to her if I get sick and don't have health insurance? What happens to our home, our finances, or anything else like that? And these are the things I'm wanting caregivers to understand, that it is admirable to rush into a burning house like so many first responders do. It's really an amazing thing to do. We have a lot of courage. We rush to action, but at the same time, we throw caution to the wind, and that's fine if it's a short-term problem, but usually as a caregiver, we're not dealing with short-term problems. We can stand on our head for a month. But when this thing stretches out to years, and in my case, decades, you got to have a different plan. Does that track a little bit, Lynn?
Well, I thought of that. But see, where I worked, there was no kind of, I don't remember what the term is, but my insurance could not be continued. And I was 1 year away from Medicare. So I ended up getting Medicare after the year, and then I got a supplemental insurance in California that was geared with Medicare. But then when I left California, they didn't have that here in my state. But I'm just saying it was a lot of changes.
Well, now, what's the next action step for you as far as maybe even reconciling with your family? Is that possible?
I think it would help if the estate got settled first. What happened, I'll just be real brief. The attorney called me, the new attorney, which also handles my brother's affairs, which makes me feel like it's his attorney. Anyway, that attorney asked me if I needed a record of the, the whole thing of my mom's estate. And I said yes. And he, I could tell, didn't like that because we were talking on the phone, and I could tell from his tone of voice. And he said, well, it's going to be some time before we get that settled then. And I thought,
well, I tell you what, Lynn.
Been doing this whole
instead of trying to read into the attorney's tone of voice, do you have counsel for yourself?
I didn't because I don't want to use up the whole estate. I'm by myself. I'm a single person, and I did consult an attorney just by a phone call, and he said that, an estate attorney, by the way, and he said that he can do that.
Well,
now, I don't
would
know how long he can tie up the money.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a neurologist, here in Nashville does a lot of stuff with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and so forth and other neurological diseases. And when he gives a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, I said, what's the number one issue that families say? And he said, it always comes down to money. Always comes down to money. Number one issue.
Mm.
And so what I would recommend doing, Lynn, is not trying to second guess what somebody else's attorney is doing, not trying to read into what they sound like, but to have your own counsel and go with the facts on paper. Try to get the emotions out of it. Try to get all that stuff out of it. And let's just deal with the facts. And because if you do that, what happens is you get yourself all torqued up into all kinds of emotional drama that may or may not be necessary. Well, emotional drama is rarely necessary, but we find ourselves in the midst of it anyway. But when you come to deal with this stuff, you're dealing with money, you're dealing with estate, you're dealing with stuff, and everybody's going to bring their own resentments into it. And it's the best thing you can do is to be as detached from that emotionally as possible, so you can just deal with the facts and stay calm in that place and not bring in all kinds of he said, she said, he felt this, he, she felt kind of stuff, and deal with the facts. And before you write a book on this, I would recommend getting that part of your life as stable as possible, so that that's not hanging over you. And then you could walk people through that process of, okay, here's what I learned while I was doing this.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Well, I think we lost Lynn, so we're going to continue on here. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. And we are so glad you're with us. It's a show for caregivers. And as you heard from our caller, she went into a situation where she basically put her entire life on hold, went to go help her mother, and then the family became resentful because she showed up and did it, and there's money involved, some type of estate, and that's what happens to so many families, is that they are starting to, everybody starts looking at, okay, who gets what? And if you've got any unresolved issue as a family member, any unresolved issue, I promise you, as a caregiver, it will come to the surface so quick. And it's basically, caregiving is like Miracle-Gro for character defects. And it'll magnify things. So if there's any kind of resentment towards you and another family member going into this situation, I can promise you it's going to get right up front in your face as you go forward. So it's so important for you as a caregiver to protect yourself and to set up boundaries for yourself. I do martial arts. In fact, as soon as the show is over, I go to martial arts and I'm working on my third degree black belt. You've heard of Shogun. I'm Shonuff. And that's funny, Jim, by the way. You can go ahead and laugh at that.
I was laughing. I just wasn't sure whether or not to do it on air. I'd rather laugh with you than at you.
Well, and I've had both, Jim. I've had both.
I'm sure.
But I have. Oh, Jim. It's like, I have. The art I take is self-defense. Well, it's hard for caregivers, number one, to value, to defend what you don't value. And that's one of the things I'm trying to help caregivers understand, is how to value themselves, defend yourself, defend your own health care, defend your own emotional state of being, defend your own assets, defend everything about you. It's okay to defend those things, to protect those things, not to miser them or hoard them or be possessive with it in the sense of that it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But, you know, if somebody was coming down the street and try to take your wallet or to attack you, you would at least want to be able to defend yourself. And this, you don't want to just walk around and be victims all the time. And this is what the art I take is. And you don't have to be somebody big and hulking. It's a great art for people that don't want to get into a fight, that they just want to defend themselves properly and get away from danger. Well, as caregivers, we're going to get into danger. I promise you, we're going to get into danger. We're going to get into emotional, spiritual, fiscal, professional, every type of danger you can get into, you're going to get into it. You're going to have family members that are going to come after you. You're going to have creditors, jobs, employers. 47% of the caregivers are in the workforce. How's that working when you're balancing all the things that you're doing, and then you're trying to get off from work and so forth, all those kinds of things. And then we get our self-worth back from caring for somebody who may or may not be able to respond properly. And so you're thinking, I'm doing all this, I'm sacrificing, and maybe somebody didn't ask you to sacrifice all those things. Maybe you just did it because you felt like that's what you're supposed to do. But you're sacrificing, and nobody's appreciating it. And then you become resentful. We kind of need to roll all that back to the beginning of this and start having a different plan. And that's what this show is about. It's about equipping us to do it. By the way, that theme song that you hear coming in, I wrote that. My buddy Chris Latham and I wrote that. Grammy Award-winning Chris Latham. And there's a great story behind that tune, and that's the theme for our show. And it says that theme says, hey, we got to take a break. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. If you want to be on the show, 888-589-8840. It's a show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. It is about the family caregiver on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience. That's not one, that's not two, that's 3 decades of experience as a family caregiver. And that is the person I care for. You just heard her right there. That's Gracie. And she can really sing. And that's
Peter.
Yes.
It's not the voice of the Lord. It's just Jim. But I'm going to tell you, Gracie's got some pipes.
She does indeed. The girl can sing. I mean, the girl's a no-kidding singer. And I love to say, and the fact that she's doing this is, you know, with her broken body, both legs amputated, 80 plus surgeries that I can count, and at least another 80 to 100 smaller procedures over 35 years, and she's singing Rejoice. Now, if she can do it, guess what? We can too. And this show specifically addresses the needs of the family caregiver, people who are taking care of people dealing with surgeries, with disease. I was just in Greensboro, North Carolina yesterday. I spoke at a conference of Parkinson's, caregivers of Parkinson's disease patients. And, you know, and then I'm going to be doing some more stuff down the road with other different types of diseases and stuff. And we cover this on the show. It's really not the affliction as much as, okay, how do we respond to this now? These are not short-term issues. As I told in the last segment, we can stand on our head for, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe sometimes a couple of months. But when this thing drags on for years, and in my case, decades, you got to come up with a new plan. And the church doesn't really quite know how to deal with this issue very well. I mean, we got short-term stuff in the church. Great. I mean, we got that. Wherever 2 or 3 are gathered, there's macaroni and cheese. We know what to do. But you can only bring so many casseroles before somebody has to learn how to cook, before somebody has to learn how to do the laundry or to manage money or to make money. All these things have to happen. You cannot just abandon the normal responsibilities of your life on and on and on and on. You're going to have a plan as you take care of somebody who may not get better or worse for a very, very long time. One of the things we deal with on the show is children with autism and families that are dealing with this. That's not a terminal diagnosis, Down syndrome, whatever. There's cerebral palsy. I've got a niece with cerebral palsy. She's 30 years old. And she's basically mentally and emotionally like a 2-year-old. These are not short-term issues. And so we've got to have a different strategy on how we look at this. And one of the things I want to tell you about, we tend to throw ourselves recklessly at this. It's like, you know, you've heard the whole thing, being on a plane that says, you know, if we lose air pressure, our mask will fall, put on yours first. Why do they tell us that? Well, they know that we tend to recklessly throw ourselves at holding our breath while helping somebody else get theirs. Well, that's fine if you only need to do it for 15 seconds. But when you need to do it for 15 years, you got to deal with a different plan. You can't hold your breath for 15 years. You follow me? You tracking with me? All right, listen, we're going to go to the phones because that's my commitment. When you call in, I'm going to take your call. We'll just kind of come to a screeching halt because this is we only have a little bit of time, just 1 hour every Saturday morning here with you guys. So I want to make sure I get the time for you. So I've got Pete in South Carolina. I am from South Carolina. My name is Peter. This is Pete from South Carolina. Pete, you with us?
Yeah, I am right here. Good morning. Is this Master Shownuff?
Shownuff. Hey, where are you from in South Carolina?
I'm in Bennettsville.
Bennettsville?
Which is like next to Nowersville.
Yeah, well, it is. I'm originally from Anderson. You know where that is?
I've heard of it. And I'm about 45 minutes north of Florence.
I know where you are. I know where you are. That's down there, not terribly far from Shaw Air Force Base, isn't it?
You know, I'm not sure where that is.
All right. Well, what you got on your mind?
So I took care of my mom, and she passed end of 2015. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience, both good and bad. It's stressful in the sense that you're trying to enjoy every minute you can with her because you know she's going to go. At the same time, you're dealing with, you know, like trying to enjoy the time with her, you're dealing with the fact that you're watching her go downhill, so it's difficult. It's a very difficult time, and just two comments I want to make to stay focused here. One is what you're saying about doing martial arts. You have to take some time for yourself. You just have to do that. And I play drums, and so one thing I did, and guitar. So like, one thing I would do is almost every day I would play the drums for about an hour. And it was something I did for myself, but it was hard to get time in because it is a full time job, and she couldn't walk for the last year of her life. So it's a lot of work, but I mean you just do it. You don't even think about it, but. The other comment that might help people is, one is you got to take some time for yourself. Two is you got to run it like a business. That you, like you were saying before, by taking the emotion out of it. If you run it like a business and it becomes you become a little less, you know, a little detached emotionally. And you got to do that. It's a part of the job. There is an emotional part. You can't try to convince yourself otherwise. There is an emotional part of the job. But for most of you, you put things on a schedule. You put the meds on a schedule, the nurses and doctors, the laundry, the meals, the bathroom time, the changing beds, all the things that you have to do. I used to joke with her, say, Mom, it's like I'm running a hotel and I have one guest.
You know, that's about as great a description, Pete, as I've ever heard any caller give. You got to run it like a business. It's like you're running a hotel with one guest. That is, and that's hard for a lot of people to do because the emotional part of it is so heavy. But what you just offered the entire American Family Radio Network is just gold. That's just gold, Pete. That's just gold.
Yeah,
and of course it would be a good old boy from South Carolina. I know that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a transplant from Connecticut.
Well, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. You should have just stayed with the Carolina thing. You know, it's we'll just say that you're from South Carolina. No, that's all right. Listen, I'm Carolina born, Carolina bred. When I die, I'll be Carolina dead. I think what you just offered is just brilliant because it is, you've got to run it like a business. You've got to think that way. Now I know it's hard and I'm not asking people to do it perfect. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for progress and trying to somehow, do something that is beyond the pale here, but we've got, when this thing stretches on and on and on, you've got to do this thing. You've got to have that routine. You've got to have that regular stuff, and you've got to look at it bottom line. You've got to lay it all out. These are all brilliant things, Pete.
Okay, it wasn't good. I just hope it helps somebody. And you know, I hate to say this too, and if anybody from Venezuela, and I do have friends here who listen to AFR, so they probably know who I am. But, you know, like, I have two brothers, one here lives in Oakland, one lives in New Hampshire, and they both hate me, and they hate each other, you know. And so,
well, I don't know. Let's back up on that, Pete. Mm-hmm. Let's back up and maybe let's just go at this point. Maybe they don't hate you. Maybe they just hate, and they haven't dealt with that. And because you're in their line of sight, you get that hate.
Oh, no. No, they hate me. I'm just saying that adds a very big layer of difficulty. But in a sense, the job is such a big job that, you know, you got to keep things in perspective. And the job is a big job that is all with that coming at you. You really, it's almost like it minimizes that factor. It adds a layer of difficulty, but you minimize it because it's like, hey, listen, man, I got a job. I get, this is really important. And so I don't have time for your behavior, your attitudes, and all that stuff that you bring. You know, I don't have time for it. So, when you get into it, it's like, don't let yourself get sucked into that family drama stuff. You just can't allow it.
Well, you do have to detach from it. And Pete, I'm so glad that you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for the call and for the great wisdom that you gave everybody else. And you have to detach. He's absolutely right. You have to detach from this. It's not easy. It's not a one and done. See, one of the things I talk about on this show, I don't tell you how to fight with insurance companies very often. That's a one and done. You got it. Once you got it, you got it. But when you're dealing with an insurance company, for example, they bring a knife to a fight. You bring a calculator. It's all about math. You don't have to get drama. You don't appeal to humanity. Just simply look at the math and do it. When you're dealing with doctors or when you're dealing with whatever, I'm not going to teach you how to give it an injection. You know, once you got that, you got it. You give a shot. It's not that big of a deal. But this matters of the heart and these family dynamics and all this kind of stuff that comes on and dealing with our own hearts. This is the battle for caregivers. This is where we struggle. This is what we struggle to do. And we have to be reaffirmed in this, reminded of this, and be around a group of people who will constantly reinforce this with us. Because if we don't, we'll forget. I'm preaching to myself here because I have caregiver amnesia. You know, I forget everything. That's why I wrote a book so I could read my own book. I have to hear from somebody with my level of experience. And there's nobody from my level of experience has written a book. So I read my own book. It's called Hope for the Caregiver. That's the name of the show, Hope for the Caregiver. The YouTube channel, Hope for the Caregiver. The podcast, Hope for the Caregiver. The Twitter handle, Hope, the number 4, Caregiver. Everything I'm doing is to remind us that we as caregivers do have that hope that we can live a calmer, healthier, and even more joyful life while taking care of somebody who deals with very challenging circumstances. What we look at is grim, but we don't have to be. My wife is a double amputee. Must I be? Must I be a double amputee in order to take care of her? No, I don't have to be. In fact, it's better that I'm not. So I need to protect my legs. I need to protect my body because it's the body she's counting on to do the job. And I need to protect my heart because it's the heart she's counting on to do the job. And I need to protect my wallet because it's the wallet she's counting on to do the job. You follow me? All right. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. We will be right back on American Family Radio.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
The end of all my prayers is to care like my Lord cares. My one and only goal, His image in my soul. Yes, my weakness is revealed, but by His stripes I'm healed. He's faithful and He's true.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. That is my wife, Grace. I'm just introducing you to us a little bit more so you get to know us. She really can sing. Jim, thank you for that comment earlier. But isn't that a great? That's Keith Green's I Want to Be More Like Jesus. I love that song, and I love her cover of that song. And so thank you, Jim, for all that.
Absolutely. I was going to say, by the way, that she hit that high note better than Keith did in his heyday.
Yes, she did. Keith wrote them, but she could sing them. I grew up, you know, I mean, that was a very impressionable time listening to Keith Green. And I remember a song that he wrote where he had a line in there that says, "The world is dying in the dark and the church can't help because we're asleep in the light."
Right. We actually used that song on Exploring the Word last week when I had sat in to co-host, and we were covering Acts, and that was one of the songs that we used, that we don't want to be the church today that's asleep in light.
And that was such an indicting statement then, and it is now, and that's why I'm so grateful to American Family Radio for doing this show, because all too often the world struggles with these very, very crippling issues, these social issues that the church comes Johnny, we're just Johnny come lately to almost all of them. And by the time we get there, the narrative has been defined by the world. Not on this issue. That's why this show is the number one show for the family caregiver, period, in the country, in the world. And it's on American Family Radio, and what a blessing that is, because we're going to get out in front of this issue, and we're going to speak the gospel into this. We're going to speak practical help to folks. And by the way, there is nothing more practical than the gospel. Make no mistake about that. There's nothing more practical than the gospel. And so we're going to take this in a way that caregivers can understand, in a way that helps them recognize. And let me give you an example. I go to a support group on a regular basis, and I recommend that for everybody. And I went into this group, and there's a soda machine there that just kind of purrs along. And after a long day, I would like to sit there in the group, and I would have a cold, refreshing beverage. So I put my money in and get the drink out. Put the money in, get the drink out. Well, one time I put my money in, and no drink. And I, you know, shook the machine, you know, do all the things you do. There was a number to call. I called it. It just went to voicemail or something, and they didn't do anything. So I abandoned the idea of that day. The next time I came to the group, I stuck my money in, and I got two drinks out. I thought, okay, well, we're getting a little bit of balance here. And I gave one to a friend, and okay, we're even. Well, the third time I came back, it took my money again. And I was like, oh, here we go again. Tried to call the number. Nothing happened. So I came in the next week, and I put it again, and this time it still took the money. And so I'm really behind now. And finally, I just gave up dealing with this broken machine and brought water to my meeting, which is better for me anyway than a soda, and I've tried to get away from sodas. And I brought water in, and I saw to a better path for my own health. Now, what does that have to do with being a caregiver? What does that have to do with the gospel? Well, let me tell you this. How many of us are putting our value, our worth, our self-worth, our treasure of who we are as an individual into broken machines? And we're expecting something back, and it's not coming, and we get angry, we get frustrated, and we're demanding that broken machine give us what we want, and it can't do it. It's broken. And our self-worth is tied up into something, someone who is broken. And we can cajole, we can swear at it, we can kick it, we can shake it, we can do all these things, we can appeal, it doesn't matter, it's broken, it's not going to work. But if you understand that your self-worth, who you are as an individual, your value, your treasure is established in Christ, that's the gospel, then all of a sudden you don't look to other people to validate who you are, to get something from other people that they can't give. This is what this show is about. This is what we're helping ourselves do as family caregivers, to understand that we've got to quit looking to other people to validate us. Just because we quit our jobs or we're doing all this stuff or we're staying up night doing laundry and all that kind of stuff, doesn't matter. We don't need to get all this affirmation from everyone else about how wonderful we are. That's not why we do it, and that's not why we should be doing it. We do it as an extension of who we are. This is something we have a loved one that is in need. We're going to do this to the best of our abilities, but we're going to look for our value, look for our affirmation, look for our worth, look for all of those things in Christ. At the beginning of the thing, I read a scriptures, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Part of that rest is learning to accept that we're coming unto Christ with this, not going to someone else to look for it. Don't, if you start saying, well, look at all that I'm doing, who are you saying, look at all I'm doing to? Because God already sees all you're doing. So are you going to God and say, look at all I'm doing? Are you going to family members? Are you going to yourself? Are you trying to make yourself feel better? Are you climbing up on a cross? Because we don't need you there. We've already got a Savior that's been on a cross. Don't need you. Don't need me. Look down at your hands. If you don't see nail prints, this ain't about you. You can't fix it. You didn't cause it. You can't undo it. You do the best you can with it. You're a steward, and you look to your worth in Christ. And that's what this show is about, is helping fellow caregivers understand that concept. It's so important that we get this. So important that we get this. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. And if you want to get the book, it's Hope for the Caregiver. It's available wherever books are sold. If you want to hear more of Gracie singing songs for the caregiver, it's out wherever you can buy CDs, iTunes, and so forth. And there's so much more at Hope for the Caregiver. Now, listen, I've got just a few moments left, and I need to tell you about something. I'm going to Africa next month. Next month. We have the ministry that supports all that we do here is Standing with Hope, standingwithhope.com. You just heard Gracie's ad about that and talking about it. And this was her vision after giving up her legs, to be able to equip her fellow amputees with prosthetic limbs. We have two programs, a prosthetic limb outreach and a caregiver outreach for the wounded and for those who care for them. And we have been collecting used prosthetic limbs from all over the country for years. They go to a local prison in Tennessee where inmates volunteer to disassemble these prosthetic devices. And we can recycle so many of the parts on a prosthesis. I call it Operation Footloose, as in turn it footloose so we could recycle it. Just making sure you're awake there, Jim. And we're the only ones in the world doing this with inmates who volunteer to do this, and they want to be a part of it. They love doing it. I go over to the shop all the time, and it's a little bit freaky when you go over there because you see all kinds of legs and arms. We do get some arms too. So if you have a used prosthetic limb of a family member who's passed away and you don't know what to do with it, we'll take it. Standingwithhope.com. We'll take it. But please, if it's just one leg, send both shoes, because we get a lot of just single shoes. And I know that sounds kind of goofy, but we need both shoes. We'll send the shoes over there too if you got a shoe on it. But don't just send a leg with a shoe on it without sending the other shoe. All right? Standingwithhope.com. And we're going over there. We're taking a team. If you want to be a part of helping, send that team. And Gracie is going to go with us. This is her first trip in several years. Her health really deteriorated over the last 8 years. And she's fighting back. She's coming back. And she's going to go back over to West Africa and show up and boast all the more gladly in her weakness, as 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, so that Christ's power may rest upon her. And we're going to give the gift that keeps on walking. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And guess what? They do. And they go walking and leaping and praising God. And we're inviting you to go out to standingwithhope.com right now. Just take a look. Just take a look and see how you can be a part of it. You can certainly pray for it as our team goes over there. And if you know somebody's got a used prosthetic limb, send the leg in, or in a closet somewhere. I had a lady call me up one time, and she had kept her husband's legs. They were almost in mint condition because he had passed away just after he got them, and they were in a closet for 20 years. Well, the joints, the adapters, the connectors, all those things, the foot, the pylon, those things don't expire. I mean, we can use those things. We can recycle those things. So don't just discard this, okay? Please don't do that. StandingWithHope.com. All right, listen, we've got to wrap up for today. It's been an amazing show. We started off with our scripture, "Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden." Let me give you a little bit of refresher on that from the beginning of the show if you're just now joining us. Jesus didn't say, "Come unto me, all you who are sleepy and need to go to sleep." He's not talking about sleep. He's talking about rest. Rest means it's not all up to me. Recognizing where our rest is. Our rest is in Christ. And once we understand that he's the owner, we're the steward. He's the owner, we're the steward. Stewardship is different than ownership. We do the best we can with it, and the results of it are up to God. We cannot control this. You didn't cause your loved one's affliction. You did not do this. You can't undo it. And so when we're striving on this, and when we're striving to let everybody know how special we are in this, we've missed the mark. Christ says you're special. That's enough. You're doing this for an audience of one, and that's Him. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. I am bringing you a lifetime of experience to offer you a lifeline so that you can live a calmer and healthier life. You don't have time to make the kind of mistakes I've made. I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. The learning curve is too steep. Learn from those who've done it. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.